These are 19 conversational style question and answer put together by our brothers and sisters in the RCA in Michigan State called the Great Lakes Classes to help us understand what the Bible teaches on marriage, family, and sexuality. They are not meant to be an exhaustive explanation of these sometimes very complex issues, but they do give us a concise and clear foundation on which we can continue to build upon. As we do question 18, I want just to set the context by just reviewing questions 16 and 17 and a brief summary of the answer from 2 weeks ago. Question 16 asks, does Scripture really condemn all same-sex sexual activity? The summary answer is yes, both the Old Testament and New Testament, as well as the early church condemns all types of sexual immorality, which includes adultery, incest, and same-sex sexual activity. Then question 17 asks, does the Bible especially condemn same-sex sexual activity above other sins, sexual or otherwise? And the answer is no. Scripture never singles out same-sex sexual activity as a worse sin than others, which now brings us to question 18. So I'll ask the question and let's answer together. Question 18, what should characterize our attitudes and actions toward those who are same-sex attracted, whether inside or outside the church? Answer, we must first remember that there is a difference between being same-sex attracted and acting sexually on that attraction, just as there is a difference between being attracted to people of the opposite sex and acting sexually on that attraction. Furthermore, through Scripture condemns sexual sin, it also condemns all forms of mockery, degrading words and thoughts, economic oppression, abuse, threats, and violence against anyone based on their sexual identity or activity. Anyone involved in such behavior must repent and walk in obedience to Jesus' command to love. Thank you.
As the Sunday school students are dismissed, let's all turn to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Chapter 14, verse 26. From Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Daphne, for reading the scripture for us. This morning, it's a joy again to welcome Reverend David Ahlstrom to share God's word and to give us a report of what God's been doing through them in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. David and Ruth have been OMF missionaries in Taiwan for 30 years. And just learned from the first service that of those 30 years, 26 years, they have been part of the FEC family, and we count it a privilege to be able to be supporting them. And they are blessed with 4 grown-up children, as well as their parents, which are all here in BC. So if you want to get into a intense conversation with the Alsum, just asked them this question: where is home for you, Canada or Kaohsiung? We'll welcome Reverend David Alsum.
Thank you. Good morning. I don't have a printer here in Canada, so I'm going to use my computer to look at my notes. It's really great to be back with you again. I think it's 2 years since we had a chance to share with you last, and a lot has happened in those 2 years. And I want to share with you this morning what God has been doing in the Chaotou district of Kaohsiung City, where we live. I have quite a few pictures to show, and I hope you'll be encouraged, as I have been, as I've spent some time just reflecting on the last 2 years. You know, sometimes you're so busy doing what you're doing, you don't really have time to think about it too much. But then you get away, like we come back to Canada, and you get time to slow down and look back on the last 2 years. And it's just been really encouraging, thinking and reflecting on what God has been doing. But to help put my report this morning in perspective, I just want to let us look a little bit at God's story in the book of Acts. So I'd like to, we looked at Acts 13, where it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." So the church in Antioch, including Saul and Barnabas, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. God spoke to the leaders of the church and said, "Set these two men apart, send them off to share the good news of Jesus with people in other places." And that was something that God made clear to them all. Oh, just in case you haven't forgotten, I should maybe remind you that Saul is the same as Paul, the Apostle Paul. His name was later changed to Paul. So when we talk about Saul, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. So now I want us to think back back in Acts to chapter 7. Way back in chapter 7, Stephen had been given a long speech to leaders of the Jews about Jesus. And they became very angry. They dragged him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And as we see here in this scripture, chapter 7, verse 58 records that the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Acts 1 records that Saul approved of their killing him. So basically, at that point in time, Saul thought that the Christians were kind of, you know, they were the scum of the earth. He hated the Christians. He supported the stoning and death of Stephen. And then it records in Acts chapter 8 that he went on to go and drag Christians out of their home and put them in prison. And I'm sure that if someone had told Saul at that time that one day he would be preaching the gospel somewhere, just like Stephen had preached the gospel, Saul would have laughed in their face. You know, "Are you kidding? What? Me? No, I hate the Christians." But of course, if we keep reading in Acts, in chapter 9, you can read the story of how Saul was on the road to Damascus to go and bring more of these horrible Christians back to Jerusalem. And Jesus met him on the road. There was a bright light and Jesus spoke to him. And Saul's life was changed. Saul's life was changed. You know, I grew up in Prince George. How many of you know where Prince George is? Some of you know where Prince George is. Well, a lot of people in Vancouver think that Prince George is beyond hope. Well, that's true. It is beyond hope. You know, it's way up there. You have to drive up the valley, Hope, Cache Creek, Williams Lake, keep going, Quesnel, and finally you get to Prince George. Takes a whole day to get up there. Cold, snowy Prince George. We spent a year there with our kids about 12 years ago or 15 years ago on home assignment. We had a month of minus 30 degrees, the month of January. Our kids had never experienced anything like that before. But that's where I grew up. And then later, I came down to Vancouver, studied engineering at UBC. And if you had told me when I was in high school in Prince George or at UBC that one day I was going to be a missionary in Taiwan, I would have laughed at you. I would have said, Taiwan, where's that? Where's that? But God spoke to me, and God spoke to my wife and I in a number of different ways to call us to leave Canada, to go to Taiwan with OMF as missionaries. And that's a whole other story that I don't have time for today. But God changed our lives and sent us to Taiwan. So we applied with OMF while we were living. I was working in Toronto at the time. And we applied with OMF. When we felt God's call to work among Chinese people to share the gospel, we shared that with our church in Toronto and the leaders of the church. And they encouraged us. And they prayed for us. And they were really the ones who sent us out with OMF in 1988, our church in Toronto. But then when we came back to Canada on home assignment in 1992, we came back to Vancouver because this is where our families are. Our families are in BC. This is where we grew up. So it made sense to make BC as our home base when we came back to Canada rather than Toronto. And that's when we first made contact with the Fujian Church. We came back and we learned Taiwanese Hokkien in Taiwan. And we thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we could find a Hokkien-speaking church in Vancouver where we could go and hear this wonderful language, you know, and use it a little bit during our year in Taiwan. So I think I just looked in the Yellow Pages and I found, whoa, Fujian Evangelical Church. And we showed up one Sunday and were welcomed. And that was long before the church moved here. 26 years ago, there was no English service, no Mandarin service. It was all Hokkien in the early days of the church. Then when we came back, we went back to Taiwan, of course. We came back in 1997. And Pastor Chen Dan Bok Su, he asked me if I would help with the youth. And we worked that year with the youth group and did Youth Alpha. And that was a great experience. And then, of course, we went back to Taiwan again. And the next time we came back, 2012, we worked with the Shalom Fellowship, the leaders in the college and career group, and really enjoyed that too. But that's our kind of involvement with the church. And we now consider you to be our main supporting church. We're also really been thrilled the last 3 years to have 7 of your members come out to Taiwan and help us with summer camps. That's been great as well. Well, the church at Antioch, they sent out Paul and Barnabas. And then in Acts 14... verses 26 to 28, we read that they came back and they reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, I want you to note that they reported all that God had done through them. They reported how God had opened a door of faith. And as we report to you this morning, we are reporting what God has done. He has used us as instruments to do his work, but we're actually reporting on what God has done through many people working together for his glory in Chautau where we live in Taiwan. It's not just David and Ruth going out and, you know, running camps and doing stuff. We have co-workers in Taiwan, some wonderful, lovely Taiwanese Christians who we love dearly as brothers and sisters, and we work together as a team and doing the ministry there, visiting people, telling Bible stories in the schools, running camps, having our weekly Bible studies and service. So it's really what God has been doing. God has been opening a door of faith to the Taiwanese. And I want to share this morning, really do like Saul and Barnabas did, and give a report of what God has been doing. I'd like to start with showing some people who've been baptized. Oh, there's the church building. It's not the church, it's the building where we meet. It gives you an idea where we are. But I wanted to share what God has been doing, some of the baptisms. We've had actually 11 people baptized in the last 2 years, which is more, I think, than we've ever seen in a two-year period in all of our time in Taiwan. It's been really exciting to see people stepping up and saying, yes, I want to believe, I want to be baptized. In this picture, we see the two ladies who were baptized, their English names, Vicky and Laura. But I want to talk about all the people in this picture. All the adults in this picture have been baptized within the last 3 years. The couple on your left, they were baptized about 3 years ago, just after we came back to Canada on our last home assignment. Their son, who's on the far right, was baptized also about 3 years ago. And the wife of that couple, her mother is the elderly lady standing in the front. She was baptized just last year, not quite a year ago. This grandmother who's almost 80 years old. And then I have another picture. So in this picture, this is four generations of one family. Grandma, her daughter and her husband, their son and daughter-in-law, and then the grandchildren in the front. And when we first met Mr. and Mrs. Lim, who were Mr. and Mrs. Lin there 5 years ago, they, of course, were not believers at all. But after much sharing with them and different people in their lives sharing with them, they believed. And we've now seen the whole family, their son, their daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and her parents believe. And in this picture is actually just this year, her father, who his job for 50 years was playing music at temple events. And he was also a spirit medium. The living room in his house, which is in a town about an hour south of where we live, looked like a little temple. It was set up like a little temple. And he said this year, he said, I want to believe in your God, he said to his daughter. I want to believe in Jesus. Won't you come and clear everything out of my house? So we contacted the local Presbyterian church in the town that he lives in, and we went down there and we had a service at his house. And this is his son-in-law and grandson-in-law, I guess, clearing all the stuff off of his idol shelf. Pretty exciting time. We don't see that an awful lot. And here is here's the Lin's daughter-in-law, just been baptized. I just love this picture because I love the joy on her face coming up out of the water and having been baptized. You can see we're in a stream in the mountains. It was really interesting having this baptismal service. We had a service and then we went down to the water at this swimming hole. And there are all these people there swimming and kids swimming around and everything. And we had our baptism right there. And all these other people kind of watching on like, whoa, this is different. two more people, this mother and her son, Yupin and Sam. We borrowed a temporary baptismal kind of tub and had it in front of the church. They were baptized last year. And also, I'll talk about them a little more later. And also these two young people, college students. And this lady, her name is Eva. She lives in Shenzhen, China. And Eva met one of our church members when she was living in the States. The lady who's giving a peace sign here, standing next to Eva, her name is Grace. And she and her husband lived in the States for 10 years. While they were there, they became Christians in the States, went to a Bible study, an English Bible study, led by a retired missionary, came to faith, came back to Taiwan to work. But while they were in the States, they met Eva, and Grace witnessed to Eva, and Eva became a Christian. Eva also moved back to China. And one day she contacted Grace. She said, "Grace, I've decided I need to be baptized. I want to be baptized, but I don't know any church or pastor here in China. Can I come to Taiwan? Will your pastor baptize me?" So I got a phone call from Grace saying, "My friend's flying over to Kaohsiung in a few days, and can you baptize her?" I said, "Well, I can't promise anything, but I want to meet her and talk to her, and if her faith is genuine, yes, of course, I'd be happy to baptize her." So she came with her husband. Her husband is not yet a Christian. And we met. We had a good talk. I said, "Yes, if you would like to be baptized, I'd be happy to baptize you." And I asked her husband, I said, "Are you okay with your wife getting baptized?" He has quite a high position in the government, in finance and so on. And he said, "Yes, if this is what she wants, that's her decision." So he was there. They were leaving at about 11 o'clock Sunday morning to fly back to China. So I said, "Well," we met on Saturday. I said, "Well, I think the best thing would be you're not going to be able to be at our church service tomorrow morning. We could go down to the beach and baptize you in the ocean. What do you think?" She said, "Fine, whatever you say, Pastor." So here we are down at the beach. It was a beautiful day, calm water. We had this baptism down at the beach. Anyway, praise God. You know, He's at work. That sometimes we don't see things, but all of a sudden you get a phone call. This lady in China saying, "I'm going to fly to Taiwan so I can be baptized." Wow. Pretty exciting. Earlier this year, we had a church retreat, and at that retreat, we baptized three of our young people in our church. That was in the swimming pool. So you see, we're happy baptizing people wherever. We've already seen what? A stream, the baptismal tub, the ocean, now the swimming pool. Oh, I skipped ahead too quickly. I wanted to talk about Mrs. Wan. 2 days before we came back to Canada, we baptized Mrs. Wan in the local swimming pool in our community early in Sunday morning. Mrs. Wan, what a thrill to see one of our neighbors come to Christ. She lives three houses down from us. When we moved into this house 5 years ago, we didn't know anybody. We started to get to know some of the neighbors. We met Mrs. Wan when we took our garbage out. Because in Taiwan, the garbage truck comes around 5 days a week, and you take your garbage and you have to put it in the truck. You can't put it outside in a garbage can or anything. You put it in the truck. So all the neighbors gather, and in our neighborhood, the truck stops right in front of our house, in front of the church. So we have all these neighbors gather in front of the church, waiting for the garbage truck. So that's where we first met Mrs. Wan and just chatted with her a little bit as we chatted with the neighbors. Well, one day she showed up at the church with her daughter, who we'd never met. And, the story goes like this. So she has a daughter who works in Thailand. her daughter had a business in Thailand, and the business was having problems. So her daughter had been to several different Buddhist temples in Thailand asking for help, asking them to pray for her business and so on. She'd given a lot of money, but nothing improved. It just got worse. So a friend of hers in Thailand, who was a Christian, said, you know, you should go to church and pray to Jesus because he can help you. And she told us that she had actually been to the church building in Thailand, in Bangkok, and she'd stood outside watching the people go in the church, but she was afraid to go in the church. Now, I don't know why, but she was afraid to go inside. But then she came back to Taiwan to visit with her teenage son, to visit her mom, and to visit her husband. Her husband lives with her mom and her brother and his wife. They all live in one house. She came back to visit, and she was telling all this to her mom. And her mom said, well, if you want to go to a church, there's this church just on the corner right there, you know, three houses down. And those people, they're really nice. I met them taking out the garbage, and they're really nice people. Let's go. So her mother just came over and rang the doorbell, and that's how we met them. And we heard this story. So, of course, I talked with her daughter and said, well, yeah, I believe God can definitely help you. And we shared with her, and we prayed with her, and we invited her to come to church the next day. And they came. Mrs. Wan, for the first time, came to the church on Sunday with her daughter and her grandson. And her daughter was leaving the same afternoon to go back to Thailand. I said to her, I said, could I put you in touch with a church in Thailand? You give me your name and address, and I'll get a pastor in Thailand to phone you. And she was really excited. She said, yeah, I'd love that. I'd really like that. So I contacted OMF, our mission in Bangkok, and they contacted a Chinese pastor who phoned Mrs. Wan's daughter. And that's about the last I heard of it. I just got a note back from OMF saying, yeah, we contacted this pastor and he's going to contact her. And I heard nothing else until about 6 months later, the daughter came back for another visit. And she came over to the church. She was so happy. She said, pastor, thank you so much for introducing me to this church in Thailand. I'm a Christian now. My son and I were both Christians. We were baptized. And it's so great. God has helped me so much. And my son, he's completely changed. He's really happy now. He'd been kind of depressed and withdrawn before. And she was so excited. And of course, she told her mother, you know, Mom, you should believe in Jesus too. So Mom started coming to church. And one day, and she started coming to this, we invited her. We have this Thursday morning Bible study that's on the PowerPoint there. Her mom started coming to the Bible study every Thursday morning in Taiwanese. And I said to her, I asked her one day, I said, it was obvious that she was believing. And I said to her, I said, have you thought about baptism? And she said, oh, pastor, I don't think I'm ready for that. Maybe when you come back from Canada. I asked her this about 4 months ago, and she knew we were going to be coming back to Canada. I said, okay, I don't want to pressure you, but whenever you're ready, you know, just let me know. Well, about a month before we left, she came back to me and said, you know, pastor, I've been thinking I really like to be baptized before you go back to Canada. So I was really excited, and there she is being baptized 2 days before we left. And now she's bringing her son-in-law, her daughter's husband, to our Thursday morning Bible study. He came twice the 2 weeks before we came back to Canada. And he was asking me, pastor, if I become a Christian, can I still participate in the, you know, praying to the gods at my company? Because we always, every month, we have this big ceremony to ask the gods to help our company, our business. Can I do that? And of course, I had to say, well, no, you can't do that. But he's really thinking, you know, and he's asking these questions. It's good. We need to keep keep praying for him. So God has opened a door, the door of faith, to these people in Taiwan.